BTW, FYI. Visit Nexplanon.com/RN to learn about Nexplanon. It's an adjustable implant, 68 milligrams radio pay. Or ask your HCP IRL. Okay, TTYL.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
It's Thursday, July 28th, 2016. From Slate, it's The Gist. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the 8th day out of 10 weekdays of convention, of political speech. And when they come back to back, as they do, they don't always go like this, but the last couple of cycles, we've had back-to-back convention weeks. It's just a lot of convention, you know? It's like going to the zoo. When was the last time you went to the zoo? If you're like me, you go at least once a year. I was even thinking of buying a zoo pass. But if you're an adult without children, but, you know, a respect, if not love of animals, you might go once every few years. And when you do, you're there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And by the fourth hour, you're saying to yourself, I haven't seen any animals in years, and now I've seen all the animals. Maybe they should space out the animals. That's how I'm feeling about the conventions. I'm just seeing all the animals. And it affects me. It's beginning to infect my daily life. Like, I talk to my kids, and I'm just half expecting a chant to break out if I say something pithy or true. You cannot watch Disney HD until you take a shower. Shower first, shower first, or just ordering. And this is why I say on this day that I will have the dressing on the side, on the side, on the side. Oh, there are those who say the dressing cannot come on the side. The salad is made how it is made, and the salad can never change. No, to them I say no. When they told us a salad had to have iceberg lettuce, we said arugula. When they said the salad had to have only crumbled blue cheese, we said feta. And we will not belittle those ingredients in the salad or cordon off parts of the salad that we do not agree with. Because you can only extend the sneeze guards down so far until they become walls. And we do not believe in walls. We believe in heart, artichoke hearts, hearts of palm. And in our hearts, we believe in not peppering our salad with exclusion, but with the inclusion of peppers, cherry peppers, and cherry tomatoes, but not actual cherries, because that would be weird. We eschew hate, but we think cashews are great. And we embrace all the wonder-working power of these disparate ingredients without the rasping pain of regret, but with the raspberry vinaigrette. These are our values. This is our creed. And this is my salad. No, seriously, I asked for the dressing on the side. You ruined it. You're going to have to start over. On the show today, it is the last day of all the conventions, and so it is the last Democratic National Convention quick and dirty dissection that will be in the AM in this feed. But right now, the ladies of the Nerdette podcast come by to nerd out on definitions, culture, and a certain beguiling undersea creature.
BTW, FYI. Visit Nexplanon.com/RN to learn about Nexplanon. It's an adjustable implant, 68 milligrams radio pay. Or ask your HCP IRL. Okay, TTYL.
Greta Johnson and Trisha Bobbitta, you might know them from the Nerdette podcast, or you might not know them from the Nerdette podcast, but I'm here to say they have a podcast. You know what the name of that podcast is? It is Nerdette. So, as the suffix and prefix might lead you to understand, it's about nerds, but that et thing means it's about nerds who sit at dinette sets and discuss Dungeons and Dragons.
Correct.
Also, that's good.
Also lady nerds. Well, it's not. You guys are the lady nerds.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned dinette because actually the et suffix is the diminutive.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like everybody's a little nerdy about something.
Oh, okay.
It's not actually the feminist.
But a lot like Wonkette. I don't think they're trying to say they're
little
feminists.
That's true, yeah.
And a lot of the et things, the pump boys and the dinettes, to mention a musical.
Good.
Which is a bad musical.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
No, but from the title alone, I'm guessing it was pretty bad.
So we have talked about this on your show. And the definition of nerdiness, I think Kanye West had a pretty good one.
Uh-huh.
But it's basically having an interest, going deep in that interest, and not really caring about the judgment of others.
Yeah, but it's about an extreme level of enthusiasm.
But are there some areas – I know you're inclusive, nerdettes. But are there some areas that are just so like mainstream and cool you can't really nerd out on it? Or can you nerd out on absolutely anything?
I mean, I think that's sort of the definite – like the difference between the hipster and the nerd, right? It's like
nice.
The hipster is like, no, that's too cool. I can't possibly like that anymore.
Yeah.
Modest Mouse was only good before they were on MTV.
MTV was only good before there was MTV.
Right? But I do think, I think you can be a nerd about anything. It's, you know, as we like to say on the show, it's not about what you love. It's about how much you love it. You know, if that's calculus or, you know, really bad musicals, Mike, like whatever.
Pump
it's
boys
good.
And dinettes.
Yeah.
Since doing the show, what areas of nerdiness have shown and presented themselves to you that you never would have thought of beforehand?
Ooh, that's a good one, Tricia.
Well, I think one of the fun things for us has been really realizing that you can be a nerd about anything. So people will call us, and once we've established this sort of safe space on our show that we think it's cool that people are enthusiastic about things, and so they call us and start to tell us their deepest, darkest secrets about stuff that they know not to bring up at dinner parties. And this happens even sometimes with our guests. It's like they know that, you know, they've been studying bugs their whole life, and that when they go to a cocktail party, everybody's like, yes, Bob, we know nobody wants to talk about ants, right? But on our show, we go like, no, wait, if you've dedicated your life to this thing, there's a reason why. So, like, let's go. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I'll throw out the suggestion for you. Entomologists and entomologists. People who know about bugs but also know about dessert cakes. Entomins.
Oh, nice.
Maybe it's more of an do you have Entomins
good.
Out there in Chicago where you are based? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the Drakes of slightly further to the north.
Is there a person who can bake with crickets that we should be talking to?
Oh, I didn't even take it there. I thought that they would naturally. I thought like would attract like. And if you're an entomologist, you might as well become an entomologist. Or I don't know where these – I don't know actually if those words are related because I'm not an etymologist.
So you just get to talk about random things on this show all the time, huh?
That's right.
This is your deal, right?
That's right.
Cool.
But I have no nerdiness about me.
No, obviously. Mm,
yes, all right, tell me about the Nerd Confession Hotline and what you're doing for America, really.
We're doing for America. I love it. This is patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're offering up a safe space, as we said, for folks to just call us and tell us about the nerdiest moment in their life. So this can be something they're very proud of, or it can be something that they still have sort of nightmares about that happened to them in adolescence that may have been like sort of their version of living out a Freaks and Geeks episode.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go well.
Yeah. So what's a good one? Take me to the bridge.
This is one that we had on recently from someone who has a pastime that I have never even considered being something that you could do as a quasi-professional, and this is being a merman.
So this is someone who enjoys, again, back to Broadway. There's no business like show business. Annie, get your gun. Gypsy, he loves Ethel Merman. This is what you're saying?
No. He's a female
Ethel
merman
impersonator.
Half man, half fish.
Oh.
But a merman who did a Ethel Merman impression would make this even better.
We should ask him about that.
A merman. Yeah.
A merman.
Instead of belting in the Ethel Merman style, he only whispered. So he was a murmuring merman.
Oh, no.
I think you know what my nerdiness is. It's puns. All right, let's hear the merman.
Hi, Trisha and Greta. This is JV, and I have a nerd confession for you. I love mermaids so much that I, decided to make it my career. I'm a professional merman performer, which has led to me also becoming a published author, a model, and an educator. My merman name is Merprince JV, and I've been a professional since 2012. So that's about 4 years now. And I've been tail swimming for about 10 years. When I'm in the water, it feels like I'm flying. And when I'm resting on shore, I love seeing the joy in the faces of the people that walk by and see me. It's pretty awesome.
I was going to violate for a second. I got like 4 or 5 jokes to make, and I thought that maybe I would make them and violate the idea of the safe space that you've created. Jokes like a lot of the accomplishments he's listed, like published author and educator, not a lot of barriers to entry, but I'm not going to make those jokes.
Oh, come on.
What I'm going to do is say I've been to his Facebook page. The merman-ness is just shot through with fabulosity.
It's fabulous. Yes.
Yes. There's a drag queenish element to it, or maybe it's drag kingish, and he's just going for it.
Yeah.
And so that's
exactly
good.
The idea of going for it, I think, is a really important one. You know, I think so often we're taught to hide those things about ourselves, right? And like, that's amazing.
Okay. So definitely let's celebrate it. Let's not judge. If he were here, and maybe you guys can field this question, I would ask him, why do all mermen, if they were, or mermaids, why almost always depicted torso of the human, tail of the fish? Why almost never the other way around? That would be horribly, horribly disturbing.
A fish-headed, legged
creature?
Yeah,
yeah. Like a leg guy with the fish head. Yeah, that's a Hieronymus Bosch portrait right there.
Yeah, that's very.
But like for all the celebratory and you be who you want to be, unless you got a fish head.
It's true.
I mean,
but something... really, tail swimming is a lot easier than leg swimming.
Yeah.
I think that's the
it's my favorite REM song. All right, I like it. Let's hear the next nerd. I'm wide confession, but let's hear the next proud proclamation.
As you may know, it's somewhat difficult to sort of make new friends in your late 20s. I had recently found 2 girls who were going to be my gym buddies. They are not nerds, but I had been around them enough that I got comfortable and sort of forgot this, and they were dropping me off. We were going really early in the morning, so when they would drop me off after we worked out, it was like kind of right after sunrise, and there was this glorious red sunrise, and I looked up, and without thinking, of course, I said, "A red sunrise's blood was spilt this night, and let me tell you, the silence in the car was a little unnerving," and then I remember these girls don't even know what Lord of the Rings is.
So she's a Lord of the Rings fan.
Lord of the Rings.
And she went outside the circle of trust, Lord Sauron's dark circle of trust, and she got smacked down. Raises a few questions. Is there a proper way to come out? Is that's
when do you disclose?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That, with that reference, that bloody death reference, you know, maybe just work a Hobbit reference in there. Maybe
you think it was just too deep?
I think let's say she was working out with her gym buddies, looked down, found that one of them had big hairy feet. It's like, Bilbo Baggins-esque. See what someone says. Do you think women or girls, gym buddy girls, are quicker to smack down the exposed nerd than a guy? Because I think our idea is that, you know, guys beat up the nerd, right? Jocks beat up the nerd. But girls have a way of, you know, freezing the nerd out. The queen bees do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel that as much in my 20s and 30s, but I would say like in 7th or 8th grade, there was definitely that idea that like people shouldn't know how smart you are. Like you should just kind of play it cool. Like I definitely felt that. I think, Trisha, you just went all out.
Yeah, I somehow just was missing the part of my brain that was supposed to be ashamed of being a nerd. So
which is better. She's winning.
So, you know, I did things like, you know, be pretty upfront about the fact that I like things like Monty Python and other stuff like that when I was in middle school, but I found a small tribe of folks, I was lucky, who also liked that stuff. But Lord of the Rings is definitely one of those things that people now, I think, are culturally aware that it exists after the movies.
You mean after being like number 6, 8, and 12 highest grossing films of all time? Yeah.
Yeah, like they're aware of them
penetrated.
Even if they didn't see them.
Right.
But to do a deep cut, like a line from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is some thought that, you know, for all the talk of outcasts and nerds, we got taken over by the nerds. The pop culture took over. There's, I mean, superhero movies and comic book movies and Lord of the Rings. How true is that?
I think when you see guys showing up at the NBA draft wearing those big glasses, the big black rimmed glasses, then and suspenders and all this, that there's definitely a nerd chic thing that sort of happened in fashion that helped. I also think that the internet made it easier for people to find each other and realize they weren't alone in liking the things that they like. So even if you grew up in a small town or grew up in a family that didn't like the same things you did, you didn't have to go through your entire adolescence thinking you were the only one who liked that book or that movie or that board game. You can find the community of whatever it is that you're into and not feel so isolated. And I think that's why nerd has become just more of a verb than a noun, is because we're all hopefully passionate enough about something that we could call ourselves a nerd about chemistry or baseball or something.
There's also a cred to the idea of being a nerd now that is – it cuts both ways. To some extent, people who proudly proclaim themselves as nerds and get clapped on the back, that's bona fide. But there's also the affect of saying, oh, I'm such a nerd, when really – you have two Spider-Man comic books. Congratulations.
It's true. I mean, no one's a nerd about everything, right? Like on this show, people always come up to us if they meet us in the wild at a live event or something and say, are you a nerd about the thing I'm a nerd about? And sometimes the answer is yes, but sometimes it's like, no, but that sounds great. And I would love to learn that board game or try out that comic or something like that. But it's okay to be a casual fan of some things and then to be really obsessed with Doctor Who. You can have both kinds of fandom in your life. You can be casual or extreme.
Where in your guys' shared nerd Venn diagram, what's the stuff that's most shared between the two of you?
Well, thanks to Hamilton, we are getting Greta into the world of musical theater.
That
was closer, man.
She's closer than ever before. I think we both grew up pretty voracious readers. So Greta reads more contemporary fiction than I do. I tend to lean more towards just reading long articles on the internet.
She reads a lot of management books.
I do.
Really?
Yeah, she really does.
So we really know who moved her cheese? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What color is your parachute?
But I'm someone who, if something's placed in front of me, I try to just devour everything around that thing and then sort of cannibalize it and move on. Whereas I feel like Greta's more consistent through her nerdery. I feel like you've always been a book nerd.
Are there big gaps in your shared nerd enthusiasms?
There are. I mean, you mean in terms of the things...
Add Trisha and Greta together. They still don't like...
Well, it's not that we don't. I like
both pretty unfamiliar with video games.
Yeah, video
that's a
games.
Huge hole
Trisha's
for us.
Better at comics than I am, but I'm starting to watch movies, so at least there's that.
That's good.
I'm getting the Marvels in there anyway.
Yeah, but I wasn't allowed to have any video games growing up, so that's a huge part of nerd culture that I'm sort of blind to.
Yeah, we have another nerd confession.
We
here?
Do.
Yeah, we have one more.
Let's set it up.
X-Files was really hitting its peak, and I knew that what I wanted to do with my life was not study dolphins or marine life, but to be Dana Scully. I cut a lot of my hair off, and I started buying tight black pantsuits and using the internet to make fake FBI badges. My parents, they saw this devotion and thought, how can we turn this into something real and useful? Let's send her to forensic pathology camp at the University of Virginia.
There are so many things I love about this nerd confession.
Yeah. First of all, her default setting is marine biologist.
Yeah.
She's studying dolphins. Yeah, that's the mainstream thing.
I feel like that was an entry lady scientist thing for a really long time. Marine biology. Like you could picture, I feel like you picture a lady when you picture marine biologist more than you might, you know, forensic pathologist or surgeon.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's only because, though, the main character in that dolphin, A Dolphin's Tale and A Dolphin's Tale 2 was a woman.
Also, Lisa Frank made us all really love dolphins.
Yeah. And wasn't Free Willy, wasn't there a lady?
Oh, yeah. Peak Free Willy.
Right.
Man, that was a good movie.
Okay. So she starts off as the marine biologist. Then she wants to be Dana Scully from X-Files. Mm-hmm. Or does she just want to impersonate a federal officer?
I was going to say, I think there may have been a confession that has legal implications in this one. Printing off fake FBI badges.
I think, too, the other thing that I think is really beautiful about this is talking about the parents who are like trying to facilitate this interest, right?
That's a big thing that's changed, I think. As much as the culture embraced nerds, I think parents today grew up with comic books and grew up with TV and probably grew up with cable TV. So, it's game on. No one's beating their kids and making them never read the Fantastic Four. Okay, so... what were your nerd confessions, or is that what your whole show is? I mean, did you have a specific one when
you
were sharing them?
Well, I mean, one of the ones I opened with to try to help, you know, tell people what kind of story we're looking for is we went to a sleepaway camp with my whole seventh grade class, and the list of things to bring included flashlights, but I brought my lightsaber, and it was confiscated.
Really?
As a weapon.
Because you know Trisha.
Yeah.
Because they thought I was dangerous.
Were Siths running this class?
I don't know. I did find out that the teachers had stolen it and like were playing with it after Lights Out. So I was redeemed a little bit and did finally get it back. But yeah, I didn't think it would be an ostracizing moment at all to bring a lightsaber instead of a flashlight to camp in seventh grade.
All right. What's yours?
Mine is when we were in fourth grade, we moved from Alaska to Minnesota and I learned about cable television. And so my brother and I, we petitioned my parents for cable TV. We had like a family meeting. Jacob and I said, listen, we want cable. And my dad said, okay, well, cable costs about $30 a month, which just goes to show you how long ago this was, right? He said it costs $30 a month. We can get cable, or I will give each of you $15 a month for books. Mm. And my brother and I both, no questions asked, were like, oh my God, we'll take the books. So yeah, we read a lot. It was great.
My nerd confession.
Yeah. Yes, it's time.
And I'm not great with this because I don't go deep on things. I like to graze. But the one exception might be something I admitted on your show and have never admitted. And listen to
really?
Me.
Really? You've never put this on the gist?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've never really talked about this. It was a couple years ago and I haven't updated it, but there is a Twitter feed called Nonplussed Means Confused. Mm-hmm. And if you go to this Twitter feed, you will find a dog.
He's a real cute dog.
He's a cute boxer dog with a weird look on his face, and he seems confused, which is what nonplussed means. Nonplussed doesn't mean unfazed. And so what this dog's mission in life is to look for people using the word nonplussed wrong on Twitter and gently chide them as only an adorable dog can do. And why it's my Twitter confession is I made that Twitter feed. I don't maintain it enough. Maybe I should.
You are the dog.
Maybe I should farm this out to, you know,
you
a just listener.
Yeah. I remember.
Someone needs to ride herd on non-plussing, on the policing of non-plussing.
I feel
Twitter.
Like it was a couple of years ago now, but I looked back at your tweets on that account, and it was like New Year's Day. You had like gently chided someone.
Starting the year right.
Using non-plussed.
I was resolved. Yes.
Which is, it's a great nerd confession, Mike. It's really good.
Secret word. And secret nerdy Twitter accounts are good.
Trisha Bobida and Greta Johnson are the hosts of Nerdette. And if you want to make your own Nerdette confession, here's the number to call.
312-600-5638.
That's a podcast. We don't have to repeat it. You guys just rewind it. Greta, Trisha, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's it for today's show. And you know, when the founding fathers wrote, we the people, they were talking about people. Like Mary Wilson, the producer of The Gist. And that is why I am proud to proclaim Steve Lickteig, not the associate producer, not the assistant producer, not merely a producer, but the executive producer of the Slate Podcasts. And he is here to serve the single mom wondering if her benefits will be cut off, or the cop walking the beat, thinking in the back of his mind about his sick child. Or the chief content officer of the Panoply Network, Andy Bowers, who's wondering if his offer codes are good for significant discounts at online retailers. And they are all here for one reason, ladies and gentlemen. They are not here for themselves. They are not here for their party. They are not here for their offer codes. They're here for the gist. As we live out our awesome, inspiring, albeit incomprehensible promise, Umperu Deperu Duperu, God bless you, God bless these United States, that United Kingdom, and those United Emirates. Thanks for listening.